Thankful for the opportunity that we have to again come together and mine in through some of the scriptures that are given to us in the Bible as we continue our lessons on information, continuing from this morning, been looking at the primary purpose of this relationship that exists between the sender and the receiver, but the relationship that exists between the sender of the information and the receiver of that information is defined the relationship that exists between the sender and the receiver. And so we're looking at that this evening and giving special emphasis to God as the sender. The word is what he has sent, given to us, the body of information that we are going to be held accountable to and by which we learn. And our reaction to that is defining our relationship with the Lord. I want to thank Nick for leading us in those songs. In Psalm 119, we see David talking about the law of the Lord and how it is perfect, converting the soul. This morning, we had these questions before us. Does information exist? Absolutely it does. Is information a property of matter or energy? One doctor back in the 40s said, information is information. It's neither matter nor energy. And of course, that's true. It's a massless entity. And we need to see that it is that. And it's something that is not constant. It is something that can be destroyed. It's massless in the sense, as illustrated in the blank CDs, that before and after they are burned, they weigh the same. And so it is with information, that it is something that you can't put in a test tube and you can't necessarily analyze. Okay, this is the property of information here. But there are laws that are associated with it. We looked at a definition this morning regarding information, that it is a symbolically message that is conveying an expected or desired action with intended purpose. So we're going to continue to look at this relationship on how men treat the information that God has given to us. We're going to look at that this evening. I bid you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, but this morning we looked at the folly of adding to his word or taking away from it. We looked at the danger that exists in twisting it, how information can be destroyed by the corruption of man, how he twists it and tortures it. We looked at 2 Peter chapter 3, 16 and 17. That word twist there does literally mean torture. They tortured the apostles' epistles. Those things that are hard to understand are not a license for you and me to move in directions in which we can force our opinions into the text, but rather is a challenge to you and me to study the Word of God even deeper and to give special attention to that. We looked at the condemnation that God has given to liars and gossips and slanders, and what is it that fundamentally makes that condemnation real? Well, we're going to continue to see that this evening. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus had performed or was walking with his disciples in some fields, and his opponents are constantly annoyed with him, placing him under intense scrutiny, and they're never going to be happy with anything that he says or does. The Pharisees in chapter 12, verse 2, they saw that his disciples were eating grain, and they say, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. And, you know, they're charging his disciples that they had broken the law. They had plucked the heads of grain, verse 1, and they began to eat. And Jesus reminds them that, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, when he went, how he and those who were with him, how they entered the house of God and ate showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest. Now pause there for a moment. Some people want to take this text, and like I said this morning, they will take a text and they will twist it and torture it to their own destruction. And I've heard preaching take this very text right here and say mercy supersedes law. That mercy, the graciousness of God, that it does away with law keeping. And Jesus is saying here, you know, you dumb Pharisees, don't you know that mercy is greater than law? And look, I mean, here's a situation where David was hungry and he needed to go into the temple and he needed to eat. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is not saying you can set aside the law so that you can you can break the law because you're hungry. Think of the absurd level that brings us to, that I can just deny God's law for the basis of hunger. Really? Then how should Adam and Eve been condemned for eating? How should the man in 1 Kings 13, when he turned aside and ate, why should he be condemned? He was deceived, right? Why Esau? Should we condemn Esau? He was hungry, right? Jesus is not saying that. He's saying, look, Pharisees, you guys hold David up into a high esteem when he broke the law. We are not breaking the law. We are not breaking the law, and you're scrutinizing us into this intense level of hypocrisy where you call us guilty. You don't even read your own prophets, for the priests themselves, according to your view of the Sabbath, violate the Sabbath, verse 5, when they prepare the animals for sacrifices. But I want you to know this nugget of information, verse 7. This information that you have to this point failed to appreciate. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for you would not have condemned the guiltless. Jesus clearly exonerates his disciples as guiltless. They did not violate any law in the sense of rubbing their hands together to break the chaff off the wheat so that they had something to eat. There was no violation of that. That's not a work. And also you ought to know, verse 8, that the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. In other words, I'm the one that gave Israel the Sabbath. Why would I then come here and break it? Okay. Why would I break it? So you exonerate the guilty, David and his people. You condemn the innocent, Jesus and his people. And you think that I'm a violator of the Sabbath when I'm the one that gave the Sabbath. Okay. Now he does another miracle here, and they're all obsessed in verse